Welcome back to Soccer Cards United. It's episode 224 of the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. My name is Jason. That's Enzo. Hello, Enzo.
Hello, Jason.
We are coming to people on a Friday, so I hope we're going to have kind of like a casual Friday style show, a nice few kind of relaxed chats and things like that. Oh, your camera just moved.
Yeah, look, that happens sometimes when it's not centered, you know?
All right, fair enough. I want to start off on our long continuing conversation about if Flagship should be renamed and what it may be renamed to. So just to catch anyone up who doesn't know what happened, it came up with the podcast a while ago that UEFA Club Competitions Flagship, aka UEFA Club Competitions Paper, aka just UEFA Club Competitions, is a confusing name, especially for new collectors, and soccer is an expanding market, so we got to come up with a name. We heard from people that in baseball, they have Series 1 and Series 2 of Baseball Flagship. And then you weren't a fan of that idea, Enzo.
No, but I don't like the naming of it necessarily, but I like that they kind of add in players. People confirm that that's what they do. They add in people that make it to the big leagues and get their calls up. So I like that.
So we got two very interesting, I suppose, letters in from listeners about this. And I'll read them and then we can discuss, we can kind of update. We're going to have been talking about it for 12 or 18 months by the time they finally do it. And it's going to be a big day on the podcast when they do it.
That's right. So
Sean writes in and says, Enzo, you are correct that the reason for Series 1 and Series 2 and also Update Series is so that Topps can capture the many new rookies that get called up from the minor leagues to the big leagues throughout the duration of the baseball season. Series 2 usually isn't as different from Series 1. However, Update Series is more sought after than Series 2, as Update usually puts more of a focus on the hot new rookies. For example, Mike Trout's famous rookie card that is considered his true rookie is from the Update Series release. It's done so the Topps can spread out the release of their flagship product, Series 1 and Series 2, and likely profit off splitting the release into two separate products and release dates for hype, etc., as both are their flagship product. But also due to the nature of baseball, many, many, many players do get called up at various times throughout the season, and it's a high enough volume that instead of waiting for the following year's product for a rookie that was called up halfway through the season, the rookie card becomes available more quickly in the actual calendar year that the player is playing due to their delayed release of Series 2 and Update Series. Right?
Yep. Follow.
And then Kevin wrote in, and Kevin said, in the 80s, we're going back in time.
Oh, Kevin, yes.
In the 80s, the top set was over 700 cards every year, and there was only one release. So in any given pack, you could get cards numbered from 1 to 700. That's not what they did in the 50s and 60s. So they went back to the old ways, and now Series 1 only has cards numbered 1 to number 330, and Series 2 has 330 to 660. And then there's the Update Series for traded players and rookies that used to be sold as a box set and are now basically packed as a Series 3. Premier League Prism is a 100-card checklist, if he remembers correctly. I think he does. So even then, you can do 1 to 150 and 150 to 300 and keep the total print run the same, but it seems more limited. Then maybe a 100-card transfer series to get player moves, rookies, stadium club-like photos, off-season highlights, etc. I think that's a fantastic idea.
That is true. I like that.
Because there are, like, there's no reason when you think of it, like, for Topps now taking over Premier League license, in my opinion, there's no reason why you couldn't have a either 1, 2, or 3 sets and capture basically every player that plays in the league that season.
True. Especially because so much happens like January transfer window, stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, what is the, you know, there's you know, like I'm sure anyone that likes to collect the 9 Bournemouth players that are on the checklist would probably like to collect the whole Bournemouth squad. And so, you know, I just think that's an interesting thing. So I think if when Fanatics / Topps do take over the Premier League license, I'd like them to do something different. I mean, like meaningfully different, as opposed to just swapping out Panini's brands for Topps' brands. Maybe a different approach to the league. Because I do feel like the Premier League deserves its status as like the biggest domestic league in football. And it would be nice to see that represented in the complexity of the card releases.
Yeah, and you'd like to think that some of the reason why they don't release something at the start of the year is because they want to kind of capture as much as they can by the time they're producing the product. But if you kind of committed to a multi-release, you could just kind of have a generic first release that's actually on time, and then maybe the second release will be more sought after. But at the same time, when the first one comes out, there'll be so much interest in it just because it's the first one that dropped, so people will be interested naturally. And then you can fix it up halfway. Yeah, Jason.
Obviously, like,
I like it.
There are going to be players who are going to be leaving, you know, during the summer transfer window, but there are also, say there's going to be at least half the squad is going to be staying. So the clubs can confirm to you who's definitely going to be here.
Well, you couldn't have that because then there could be a big, you know, Fabrizio Romano-esque thing, but it's top saying, here we go, Kante's leaving, you know, or something of the line.
Yeah. Well, but okay, granted. But maybe by September, say, you could have a Series 1 release out and then going on there to your rookies. Because the January transfer window and all that could be, you know, it's got a feature for me. Rookies have got a feature.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah. Interesting stuff. So if anyone has any more to say on that, write in. Okay. Enzo, have you seen all the news coming out of PSA Card recently? We mentioned it slightly on the last episode, but then there was another piece of news after that.
Did I? Oh, about the new loaders or the new encapsulation.
Yes, the new holders.
The new slabs.
PSA say, meet the new standard. 3 years in the making and a decade since its last major enhancement, PSA's new holder for standard trading cards is making its debut. Medical grade plastic composition and industry first, 20% heavier with identical exterior dimensions, ultra impermeable to heat, humidity, water, and UV light, extra protective against micro scratches and surface scuffs, no mylar, no movement, no unwanted Newton ring illusions. God damn it, I hate when I get Newton ring illusions on my bloody slabs.
Oh, Jason. You know, we just had a PSA submission arrive, Jason. I don't even think I updated you. Just arrived yesterday. We shipped it on the 1st of May. Our logistics team over here at the Soccer United HQ, unfortunately, didn't stick the little barcode on the outside, which is very important to do on PSA submissions. So it was definitely lost in their system.
Scan you in?
Yeah, I think it was lost in their system for like 2 weeks. So I sent a correspondence a couple of days ago and I said, hey, this tracking number matches this submission number. Anything we can do? And now it's officially hit. 56 cards, Jason, officially hit PSA. They're in the research and ID phase. Apparently, once you're kind of, we got lost for 2 weeks, but apparently, like, once it's properly in the system, it's going fast recently. Hoping to have it back before national, which looks pretty likely. They may end up in these new slabs. That's all I wanted to say. That delay might have helped us.
Yeah, maybe we got over the line, the transition period.
And I have something to say just for the Irish people if they're listening. The reason I didn't open up this submission to everyone, because people have been saying, when's your next submission, is purely because this was a very specific collection of cards. I wanted to send them solo.
Okay, that's good. Yeah. So nobody think you've been slighted there.
You haven't, I promise.
Okay. PSA Mechanical Engineering Manager Brian Alvey.
I could get a job as an engineer for PSA.
Yeah, imagine that.
They said biomedical grade, didn't they?
Medical grade.
Well, I did biomedical engineering, Jason. I could sneak in there and start.
You could certainly work on Brian Alvey's team.
Oh, I'd be so happy.
Brian Alvey's right-hand man, Enzo.
Oh, my God.
He says the new polymer is more... You know about polymers?
I know all about polymers. Don't get me
started. You're a shoo-in. Come on.
Come on.
Is more
I know about the hobby and polymers. Come on.
Who knows about the hobby and polymers?
It's a very small Venn diagram. Come on. Yeah,
completely. The in-hand feel is significantly more premium. A 20% weight increase seems like nothing, says PSA mechanical engineer Travis Tepe, but it's everything. The in-hand quality from the weight alone is significant. You really have to feel it to believe it.
That's interesting. Because you would think we like lightweight as well to a degree.
Flimsy fucking slab. You know, I want a slab that...
You want to resub all of your slabs, Jason, to get these new thicker, heavier...
Yes. Yeah.
I PSA confuses me because I sent a few Haaland stickers back maybe a year ago, and I'd say there was three different versions of the PSA slab that came back to me with these stickers.
Yes.
Some of them had that kind of iced out, other ones you could see straight through the slab. There was a lot of weird shit going on.
I have seen that they've been sending these ones out sporadically.
I think we have one, yeah. I think
there's
a Julian Alvarez rookie Panini instant we have two of them, and one of them is what I believe this is, because it does feel class.
Okay.
So if this is like the new...
That makes sense.
Yeah, if this is the new wave, I'm into it. But I want to see it first, so I'm not going to sign off on it until I see it.
The other story from PSA was their game-worn card thing. So for anyone who didn't see this, basically they did this thing where they flew out and met two baseball players, Bobby Witt Jr. and Corbin Carroll.
Corbin Carroll apparently is big shit.
Oh, top prospect, is he?
I believe so.
And the PSA basically said, what if the Grail was not a PSA 10, but rather a dirtied, wrinkled PSA 1, complete with a one-of-a-kind game-worn distinction and custom inscriptions? Basically, these lads put these like pile of cards in their back pocket during the game. They got scuffed up, they got roughed up, they got game used, and then they signed all the cards, and then PSA graded the cards, and they came back, you know, ones and twos and threes and stuff like that. Obviously, what if not just the PSA 10 was valuable, but actually PSA 1 could be valuable in the right circumstances? What if that? Who would that benefit? And that would, of course, benefit PSA. So it's a good marketing tactic. What do you think of this, Enzo?
Interesting. Different. Yeah. I've seen them put a lot of rookie cards in their back pocket, right up at their ass. It was strange. It was strange for me. I don't know.
When I saw this campaign, I thought it was fun, but I also did think it was unmistakably a post Fanatics hobby move. I do think there's a slight, and this is not just Fanatics, but like, you know, PSA and a couple other companies were kind of moving towards this. I do think there is a slight kind of gimmickification happening. Yeah. Okay. The hobby, where what marketing has come to mean, when we say marketing the hobby, growing the hobby, what we really mean is coming up with stunts and kind of like flash in the pan events or other stuff to kind of like, you know, kind of like Red Bull, like, you know, kind of like a Red Bull, where you have this product that you sell for in massive amounts for a very, very high profit margin. And all you have to really do is make sure people keep talking about you. So Red Bull, like, their marketing spend is huge because the drink costs them absolutely nothing to produce. Yeah. And so I do slightly worry about the gamification, the Red Bullization of the hobby a little bit, just because obviously you're going to capture the news cycle, you're going to get featured on social media and all that stuff. But in terms of actually marketing the hobby, are you actually marketing the hobby, or are you kind of marketing just various stunts? Does anyone look at that and go, oh yeah, I actually would like to be a card collector? You know, what does marketing the hobby mean is my question.
Yeah, I would love if a rookie dirtied up a few cards for me.
Yeah. Like, does that move the needle for anyone? I don't think so.
No, I mean, you could argue it was a creative idea internally and this, that, and the other, but yeah, I don't know. Yeah. There's just a weird... The hobby's in a weird space at the moment, but it's in a growing space. So, like, on that regard, you can't hate it.
No, I don't hate it. I don't blame... No individual... none of this stuff individually is bad or is a bad idea. It's all good. It's just you do slightly. I just see kind of like, and when we kind of started in the hobby, Topps and Panini were doing absolutely nothing. Like, they were just doing pretty much zero in terms of like activations and zero in terms of like fun stuff on social media. I mean, obviously they would defend that and they would say, yes, we were. You just weren't paying attention. But as far as we could see, it was very old school. It was very like, we have the people we have. The system works. We're not going to do a load of stunts just for kind of publicity. And obviously we needed a corrective for that. So again, I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying it's kind of a trend to keep an eye on, is the gimmickification of the hobby. Just watch out for that, I would say.
Yep. Be careful.
Be careful. Watch yourself.
Be careful. Don't buy a PSA 1 Corbin Carroll game used butt card and expect it to go up in value. You can buy it, but don't expect it to be...
Yes. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Let's have a look at this.
Can I say, though, if I'm PSA,
yeah,
you're just winning so much. Don't do it. Don't even, like, you don't need to just... You're winning. You're winning all day. All day, everyone just goes, it's only PSA. Only PSA exists. And people used to say, oh, kind of SGC, and then you just bought them. So it's like, relax. No, you don't... Just stay. Don't do anything that you could fumble your whole shit with. That's all. That's my opinion to PSA. Don't break what's not broken. Don't break what is, by the grace of God, just fundamentally just working for no reason. There's no real reason, but it's just like everyone's PSA 10, PSA 10, if not me. You know, so just chill out. Ride the wave.
But then maybe they might say that when you look at Beckett, when they were on top, and the same opinion, Panini and Topps were on top, they didn't do enough. They said, I'm top of the game, and therefore I'm resting on my laurels. PSA and Fanatics are saying, we're the new bloods and we're not going to make the same mistakes that the old guard made.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Not me.
Hard to know, isn't it? I mean, look, we can speak on this. We're the greatest soccer card podcast in the world. Do you try and become an even better soccer card podcast, or do you just say, hey, we did it?
You start editing, you start adding guests, you start adding bells, whistles.
You coast. You coast on your previous success. That's what you do. Everyone knows it.
There you go. Sorry.
Okay. Would you like to read this wonderful article by Rich Mueller, if you can see it?
Yeah, I can just about see it. Are we starting in the middle?
Sorry, that's actually the top. I just scrolled down a little bit.
Oh, but I like to read the headlines. Most people like to tune off after the headlines. Famous comedian once said. GameStop offering to buy PSA graded trading cards. See, I didn't know that, so I thought it was just graded, but it's PSA only, it seems.
Mm.
Interesting. GameStop, a video game, consumer electronics, and collectibles retailer that has been struggling all over, I think, Europe and Ireland.
Closing down like nobody's business.
Yeah, with over 3,000 North American locations and over 5,700 worldwide, which has been decreasing, I can say that firsthand, are getting into the card buying business. That's when you know the hobby is up.
Yeah.
That's when you know the hobby is up. That's why I shit on GameStop a little bit there. The company has announced it will begin a trade-in program that allows customers to bring in PSA-graded sports and gaming cards to their local shop in return for store credit, i.e., or cash. Also, i.e., just based on their games trading in.
Yes, the game trading rates. Yeah.
So you know, all cards must be graded at least an 8 with a value no higher than $500. That's fascinating. After the whole PSA 1 debacle, these boys are like, we're not touching that under an 8.
Yeah. So
keep your 86 Fleer PSA 7. They don't want to see it.
They don't want
it. That wouldn't be under $500. All cards offered to stores must be Lighthouse version PSA slabs. Store employees will be responsible for evaluating the authenticity of the slabs with a checklist of things to look at before accepting the trade-in. So GameStop employee, the prices offered by GameStop are non-negotiable. Do not haggle. Do not counter-offer. The offer is the offer. If you're looking to get cashed out for some GameStop games or store credit or cash in GameStop, do not disrespect me by counter-offering.
Mm.
I respect that.
I respect that too.
Programs launching in Connecticut, Georgia, Kentucky, Mississippi, New York, Tennessee, Texas to start, but is expected to expand soon. Is there any GameStops left in Ireland?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I thought that one in Stevens Green was still gone, but it's not.
I'd love to direct people. I'm not going to buy your slabs, but GameStop will.
Yeah, do you know GameStop? They'll do it, actually, yeah.
Yeah, they'll actually do that for you. And then my offer will start looking good when GameStop try to ring you.
Yeah.
I won't even say it. This is fascinating. It's more kind of crossover culture. It is a game in the UK, not GameStop, that has...
Game Digital, they're called now.
Right, and they're not the same company. They're not like a...
No, they're a rival. They were a rival. Maybe they're owned by GameStop. I don't know. I don't think they are. One store told Rich Mueller that customers who opt for store credit will receive 40% more for their cards than those who opt to take a gift card that can be used anywhere. As of now, GameStop isn't offering any kind of online guide that collectors can access ahead of time to determine what kind of trade-in value they'd receive for the cards. They have to bring them into their store.
So GameStop, struggling to get real money, has decided that cards are legal tender, so they'll try to get that off you. Is that what I'm hearing? I'm sure.
Yeah, basically. They're trying to basically say,
and they're saying,
come in here, we'll shortchange you for your cards.
Yeah, and if you're in America, by the way, right?
Yeah.
Your local game might be quite a bit away. You know what I mean? You drive 30 minutes to your GameStop, or maybe more. Possibly more. You drive there with your cards. At that point, you're thinking, I'm after taking time out of my day. I'm after paying fuel in the truck or the car.
Yeah.
I'm after getting here. They are lowballing me, but if I leave now, what have I achieved?
Yes.
I think GameStop are toxic. That's my opinion.
By making you come to the store.
Yeah. Now you're in.
It's like you're not going to walk out of here without a deal.
And you might see something you like in the store regardless of your card. So that's like a sneakiness. I think... On the one hand, it's kind of good. It's the hobby. I don't think this lasts very long. I don't think it's very successful. I honestly, you want to hear from me? You want to hear from me, Jason?
I'd love to hear from you, yeah.
If I'm in Tennessee, Connecticut, all these places that they said, go to your local card store, go to a local card show, don't go to GameStop. That's my opinion.
Yes. Don't support this muscling in on our territory.
No, I mean... Obviously, it's good to see cards in other industries and whatever, but like, I don't necessarily want my sports cards being attached and associated or trying to be a life raft to a sinking company. That's what I would say.
Mm. Okay, yeah. You're saying basically the hobby can have a bit of self-respect, a bit of pride, and we can say, you weren't here. You're only taking an interest now because you're struggling to keep these 3,000 stores open.
Yeah.
And you're looking to flip cards. You're a dying beast, and we're going to sit back here and watch
it
die.
Get out of here. Yeah. Absolutely get out of here. You're not supporting the hobby. You're just trying to find a way to get a few bucks out of it, and I'm not with that. You tried it on games. You were successful on games for many a year. You were dragged on Twitter for many a time, many a year.
You had the stock thing. You
had all of what you thought you needed.
There's a movie about that.
Yeah. I know. Yeah, absolutely. And now, you're not even going to publish it online. Like, because you know it's a disgrace. You know that you'd get screenshots and get absolutely dragged online.
Mm.
Get out of town, GameStop. Close your stores. Games are downloaded online these days. You're a dying breed. You're Blockbuster. You're Extravision. You're out of here.
Right. That's it. Good night and good luck to GameStop.
Were you expecting that to be a negative when you first? I don't know if you rolled with it. I don't know if I've impacted what you think about this.
No, I saw it and I was just like,
cool.
What?
Or no?
Cool. Well, you know.
Yeah, I think it's not good. It's not great. Like, it's just like, the card shows, card shops, friends, family, whatever.
Yeah, I think obviously, like, all of those states that they mentioned, as far as I know, do have card stores and do have card shows. And you'd much rather see the money. There's a couple of things. You'd much rather see the money stay within the hobby ecosystem than go to subsidize GameStop. On the other hand, it is nice to get the recognition. It is kind of definitely a sign that I'm talking about, what's the point in all these publicity stunts and all this, you know? And then it's like, well, the point is that cards are going mainstream, because if you get into the news enough time, eventually people go, yeah, that's a legitimate thing. I've heard about that 6 different times.
Yeah. I suppose, like, to a degree, let's not forget, regardless of whether the comps are good or bad, GameStop are offering to give you cash for your slab. So there is actually a bit of an injection of cash into the hobby. It's obviously going to be somewhat undervalued. I would imagine listing on eBay will still be more king than going into your GameStop.
Yeah.
Who knows?
But again, if you going back to your scenario, if you do take the truck and you put a big load of cards in it, like, you don't necessarily want to sell all them and ship them on eBay and sell them over the course of 3 months and have to ship them all separately, and there's different people and different shipping and there's returns.
Do you want GameStop cashing people out? I think that's a sorry sign for the hobby. That's you're dying. You're walking, you're crawling, and it's like, you know what? I'll just bring what I have to GameStop. And I'll accept their $20 and I'm allowed rent Crash Bandicoot for a week. I'll just take it. Because to be honest, I'm fed up. I'm tired. You know,
I'm sure there are people who kind of entered in during the boom and who are like, I've had these bloody slabs. I'm a gamer. I kind of did this and now I have all these slabs. I'm not interested really in.
Do you know what? If you entered during the boom and you've decided it's not for you, this is not your hobby, and you're absolutely devastated because you've spent 300 quid and you feel like you failed. This is why we told you it's the grade with PSA. If you're sitting there with a load of Beckett's, a load of HGAs, good riddance. Good luck to you.
But if you're sitting there with Beckett's and HGAs, you can't even go to
GameStop. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
I'm saying you were crying and moaning
and telling me HGA was the future, all this. If you had a grade with PSA, GameStop would have cashed it out. Now look at you. You're there with your HGA slabs. It will cost you more money to swap them over to PSA to get cashed out by GameStop than it is to just set them on fire.
Mm.
That's right.
Tough. And so then, you know, so PSA are like, exactly, Beckett never got that deal across the line.
That's it. PSA, it's good for PSA. It's a good deal for PSA because it's like, we're being recognized as it's legal tender if it's in a PSA slab and if it's in one of the new ones where we obviously have more counterfeit measures that are, they're so confident that the GameStop staff are able to decide if it's authentic and it doesn't fall on PSA. It's like, if you check for these five things, no one could have reproduced this. That shows a level of authenticity. And congratulations to PSA, I suppose.
Yep. I tell you what, they got the GameStop deal. They had the Fanatics Live store credit deal.
I have a $60 store credit for Fanatics Live. I don't know if I can use it. I might give it to someone.
Oh.
Try getting myself a Wemby on Fanatics Live.
Yeah, I think you can use it. You've got a US shipping address.
Our friend?
Yeah.
He actually messaged during the show, so do you know what? I will.
Okay. Very good. Right. It's decided. Also from, I don't want to spend too long on this one because we already talked about it when it was announced, but Rich Mueller also reports that collectors and eBay and Golden have now done that kind of deal thing that was going on. Collectors, parent company of PSA and, hang on a second. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Collectors and eBay have said they closed a series of deals announced last month in which eBay acquired Golden from collectors and PSA took over the eBay vault. The goal, they said, will be, quote, seamless transactions and extensive database insight to support decision-making for trading card collectors. That was difficult to follow.
That was a mouthful.
Yeah. Anyway, here's what we know so far. Beginning next month, collectors who have their cards graded at PSA will have the option to sell them through eBay without taking possession if they choose. PSA will handle logistics through the vault it now will manage. Customers decide when they want to sell. Consignment rates for the PSA vault to sell on eBay will range from 7% for cards that sell over $5,000 to 16% for cards that sell for under $100. No other fees are incurred. Using image-based listing capabilities, eBay users will be able to scan graded cards to create and populate new listings at a faster pace with details automatically added to their listing. eBay will integrate real-time transaction data and PSA pop report data directly into listings, providing buyers with more information about an item's rarity, grading, distribution, and pricing. Golden isn't going away. The company's auctions will be integrated into eBay. A start date wasn't announced, but Golden does not yet have a dedicated page on eBay. And within the PSA app, a full collection and inventory management experience will be available, including real-time tracking of any item's value via recent transactions and utilizing PSA's pricing data. So a pop report within the eBay listing. Wow.
I love that. And so you no longer have to type pop one. We know.
It says
it right there. I like that. That's a really good combo, Jason. Two juggernauts in the industry coming together. I think Golden will benefit a lot from getting access to obviously eBay, but I think eBay will benefit a lot by having the kind of brand of Golden, because I do think a lot of people hesitate to have huge value cards on eBay. They'd rather go to Golden. You seem to be able to do both now, which is like, you know, people with high value cards and high value buyers are now comfortable buying on eBay. I think that's really, really good. This is just one of those combos that made total sense in the hobby, and I'm happy that it's happened. Makes complete sense.
Yeah, I think like a lot of stuff we've been saying, like, you know, like auto filling, how does it not know all the details of the card just by, obviously, ideally it would be able to do that no matter what the card was and whatever, but starting with PSA slabs and going from there, that's quite good. Ken Golden, founder and CEO of Golden. I'm thrilled for Golden to join eBay and begin its next chapter, introducing a whole new audience to our curated elite auctions, the Golden 100, and our amazing selection of one-of-a-kind collectibles and sports memorabilia. Wow.
Oof.
So, some big hobby stories being reported on Sports Collectors Daily this week, so I recommend
the hobby has been happening as ever. The hobby is happening every single day. It keeps on happening, Jason. Never stops, yeah. Never sleeps.
And that wasn't even the most exciting Ken Golden news this week, by the way. Because he's listening.
He's back at it.
He's listening to us, listening to our podcast. So, Ken, if you're out there.
Ken,
hi.
Thank you. Hello.
Don't forget, don't be a stranger. Knock on that door, ring that telephone, email that email address, and we'll get to work.
Yeah, we'll get going. We can talk at the National. Don't worry about it. We'll be in Cleveland.
Yep. Very good.
Get the job done. The people want it. Sometimes I wish, Jason, I had a hugely desirable, never before seen collectible, just so as I could meet Ken. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I want to have something that would give him reason to fuel up the private jet and come to Dublin. But I don't know if I do. See, I can't give it away, but I don't think I do. But I might someday.
Okay. Yeah. Get a few more 100 episodes under your belt, you'll be able to sell that chair.
Listen,
that'll be a one of a kind hobby collectible.
Please. Did you see Ken liked that stuff on Twitter, so I'll give him this. Did you see the trailer for series 2 of King of Collectibles?
I didn't.
I've seen it.
What can we expect? How does it compare to season 1?
Soccer is represented again.
Good.
The Leo Messi 1-of-1 sticker from the World Cup. I've seen that. There was one part where it said they had Cleopatra's hand. Mummified hand or something.
Okay. All right, cool.
So some funky stuff. And just Ken being the best in the absolute business again, as ever. That's the expectation. I can't fully remember
still
it all.
Still going.
Yeah. I remember that was my main thing. The hand freaked me out. I want to know, was that real? Was it a replica? What was that? And then obviously seeing the Messi, just I was always happy to see a bit of soccer represented on yes. the King of Collectibles.
I can already picture the segment on the hand. Yeah. Top work.
Do you know what?
There's
no confirmation, I don't believe, in that. I might watch the trailer again. There's no confirmation that our favorite people from that show are back at it again, but they must be. Who got the hand?
The two Robbies.
Yeah, who got the hand? It must have been the Robbie.
Who got the hand? That has Robbies written all over it.
That's it. The two of them.
Now, Enzo, big news for you as an Italy fan with a Euros to win this summer.
Yeah. Euros to retain, please, this summer.
Oh, sorry, excuse me. Euros to retain.
We're defending our title, by the way.
Right.
In case you forgot.
I didn't forget. How could I? I wish I could. Listen.
England could have won it if it wasn't for us, eh? Don't forget that.
No, I know. And I'm forever grateful for that.
Don't worry
about it. But you don't have license cards in the Topps releases, but Panini have sorted you out. There is a Panini Adrenaline XL collection for the Azzurri. Being released. They've brought me through their website to Esselunga, which I believe is a supermarket. This is how they're releasing it from. I've done a Google Translate here for the listeners. From the 9th of May to the 5th of June, and for every €15 spent, you will receive a packet containing three Azzurri Adrenaline Panini cards.
Oh, yeah.
The men's team, the women's team, and the youth team. 108 cards. Isn't that exciting?
Youth team. Yeah, I like that at all. I like that a lot.
But there's not just Adrenaline XL cards. There's also memorabilia and there's autographs.
Oh, now I'm very interested. Excuse me.
Gigi Buffon memorabilia, Andrea Pirlo autographs.
Is that an Andrea Pirlo autograph?
It is indeed, yeah.
We better go to Esselunga when I'm in Milan.
You've got to get to Esselunga, yeah.
The dates are May, isn't it? So I can do it. If I go to Esselunga.
9th of May to the 5th of June.
Yes, I'll get one. Yeah. I'll do it. For the hobby, I can get it done. I'll do a shop. Yeah.
Do the weekly shop in
I might just go to, I'm going to rock up to Milan on the Saturday, on the Friday, go to Esselunga and buy a load of beer.
Yeah, good. Good thinking.
Yeah, that'll do me. And I'll get my Pirlo autograph and I'll be thrilled.
But there's also, you can also win all sorts of other stuff. Good Lord.
Jesus.
That's exciting. It's like the Carrefour stickers on steroids.
Oh, look at this. Take part in the Casa Azzurri Experience Competition. 30 prize packages up for grabs for two people, Jason, that could be you, to fly to Germany and follow the blue path.
Wow.
Which I assume means follow the blues the whole way through the tournament.
Yes, yes.
I'd like to do that without going to Esselunga.
Well, unfortunately, there's only one way to get that package to follow.
Oh, my
Look at the Casa Azzurri Experience.
This is brilliant. That's good. Like, to be honest, they've seen a huge gap at the market. But it's funny because it's like, how long have you had this license? Did it take you until losing the Euros to start using it? Like,
yeah, because our German listeners will be thrilled to know that Panini Germany have followed suit and they've done the DFB team set 2024 for Germany. Let me hit the old Google Translate on this one too. All right. So this is a 40 euro box, 6 packs with 6 cards each, 36 cards in total, including 2 numbered parallels and autographs in random boxes. That's a nice box design, I will say that.
Someone tried to sell me that recently.
Get the fuck out of here.
I said, not for me.
There you go.
I'm not German.
You're not German, no. Florian Wirtz autograph.
Oh, I like that now. Might have to go back.
Schweinsteiger autographs. Beckenbauer autographs.
Oh my God.
Pretty exciting stuff. But again, where has this energy been? What's been going on? You know?
Who knows what's going on, Jason?
And
available in Austria and Germany, nowhere else.
Nowhere else, yeah.
I should probably take up that offer to buy them. We'll be the only ones outside of Germany and Austria with them. Although, who's buying them?
Who's buying them? I don't know. Well.
And before you message, I don't want people messaging this to this podcast saying, I'll buy one box. They're trying to get me to buy a volume of boxes. Unless you're going to say, Enzo, I want 50 of these sent to America, 50 of these sent to Italy, whatever. Don't do it.
Don't ask.
Unless it's volume, I don't want to hear it. So I'm not going to buy 2 boxes and ship it for free. That's not how I do.
Okay.
Sorry, I had to.
No,
a bit on edge this week. I've been busy. It's been a crazy time, right? It's been, I think, 3 or 4 or 5 releases the other day, 2 days ago.
2 days ago.
I'm on edge. I'm on edge. I won't lie.
Okay. Well, we don't want you on edge. We want you relaxed. This is Casual Friday podcast.
No, I'm happy. I'm happy. Today I'm happy. I'm wearing shorts. You can't see it here, but I'm wearing some really nice beige shorts that I got when I was in the United States of America.
Right.
So even though the weather has kind of abandoned us in Dublin, but it's rest in peace to the portal, by the way. I was very excited to go to Fanatics Fest so as I could see Ireland through the portal. Now we can't. Yes. Because people couldn't behave themselves.
Yeah.
Not happy about that. I'm not happy.
What did they think was going to happen?
I felt connected to the United States in a way that I've never felt before, Jason. Because it's wow. Yeah, because it's like this port was put in place and it's like of all places in the world, it was showing Dublin. Do you know what I mean? That was a bit funky. And showing New York, of course. But the Irish.
No, it didn't get shut down because of the Irish. Got shut down because of what happened in New York. Yes, excuse me.
What happened in New York?
Someone flashed it.
That happened in Ireland as well.
No, that happened in Dublin on the New York side.
But that wasn't Ireland.
No. Yeah. All of our stuff was good humoured. It wasn't explicit.
I mean, there was 9/11 pictures being shown across that portal to New York.
good humoured. It was just good humoured. Good set of fun jokes, you know?
Well, rest in peace, portal. I kept saying to my mother that I can see her when I'm in New York. She can go to the portal and I'll see her. And that would have been great. Would have been fun. Yeah. Don't know why we could organize a
FaceTime maybe could on a big
could also work. Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. The portal was just different gravy. Yeah, but did they plan to leave it there?
The streets will never forget the portal.
The streets will never forget.
Yeah.
Do you think that port was supposed to be there for a long period of time or no?
Well, no, because it was previously in Poland. And
I didn't know that.
Yes. This is not the first time the portal technology has been applied.
Was it the same portal?
It was the same portal, same company. Yeah.
Poland, where?
I think it was two cities in Poland.
Oh. Did they behave?
Maybe in Poland to a different Central European country. I can't quite remember. But one of them was in Poland anyway.
Well, I'd never heard of it before.
No, they tried it in a kind of tertiary market. And then they said, right, the big one, Dublin to New York.
That's a good one, isn't it?
You know, yeah. And, like other ways to get from Dublin to New York, it was a Titanic disaster.
Stop.
All right. Listen, Bayer Leverkusen are good, and Ultimate Drops have released they released during the week a series of officially licensed cards and stuff for them. There you are. Look, there's for Invert. This was password protected on a pre-order list kind of thing.
Yeah.
I got in there. This is what I found. Bayer Leverkusen, the history makers. Get your piece of German football history. Bayer Leverkusen made history this year, etc., etc. But they didn't just win the championships and destroy FC Bayern Munich's legacy. I don't think you should mention another club in a...
I don't think you say destroyed.
No, you didn't destroy their legacy and you shouldn't mention them unless you're Danny Gonzalez.
Dynasty, not legacy.
Oh, destroyed their dynasty.
Is that better?
Don't mention that in the first sentence. Like,
yeah, it shows that you're forever in their shadows.
It shows you're rattled, like. So they had memorabilia cards. So they had Grimaldo, Stanisic, and Patrick Schick. Match-worn jerseys from the Bayern Munich from games against Bayern Munich, Wolfsburg, and Hoffenheim. Cool patches. 100 cards each. You could only buy 5 per purchase, as far as I know. So Grimaldo is sold out currently. Stanisic and Patrick Schick remain.
Interesting.
Yeah. They had 3 direct purchase signature cards. So you've seen this with this is like kind of like Tops Now auto styled stuff. Victor Boniface, Jeremy Frimpong, and Robert Andrick. I would not have assumed that Robert Andrick would have been the one to sell first. He is German, yeah.
Frimpong is he?
But Frimpong is Dutch.
But he's Boniface.
No, that sorry, I was be... going to say, but Frimpong I just thought was like phenomenal to see.
Yeah. Boniface too.
There's some signature cards. Then they had this limited champions box. Oh, they had a limited champions box. I don't know where it's gone. Here, hang on.
That's the image. Refresh this.
Here we are. There we are. The Deutscher Meister box. 4 packs per box, 4 cards per pack. Chance of match worn memorabilia and autographs and stuff. €100, €99.99. Oh, look at that. Overtime heroes insert.
Well, they, were they? Look all at the 90+1, 90+1, 90+7, 90+6. Look at that.
So, I think actually, if I go on the checklist here, they have the overtime here. So I believe this is everybody that scored.
That's really good.
That maybe that's true or not. I'm just looking here. Did Lukas Radetzky, the goalkeeper, score an extra time at one point?
I don't think so. I
can't remember.
Not to my knowledge.
I don't think so.
But you might have made a save. I suppose that counts as an overtime hero.
Okay. Yeah, could be. Yeah. Because I think I'm pretty sure all of these other guys definitely scored in added time at various points. Schick and Stanisic scored about 6 times each in extra time over the course of the season. So that's pretty fun. And good looks to see somebody taking initiative.
Looks well put together. They obviously, like, I think a lot of people kind of talk about, like, the fact that, like, we have match worn and they're from this game. People's like, that's amazing. You're buying it, you have a checklist. That's amazing. Like, people like that stuff. But at the same time, I think it's a lot easier to do that if you're a smaller company that's trying to disrupt the big boys versus Talent Tops to just change what they do or whatever, or Panini. But I think just being officially licensed makes it a good product. And they obviously put it together really, really well. I like it.
Yeah, I mean, one interesting thing is that it says every one auto or memorabilia card in every second box. Mm-hmm. And then they put in the next paragraph, there are 700 memorabilia cards and 280 autograph cards across the 1900 boxes.
Yeah.
Like, that level of transparency is very much appreciated.
But also easier to do at a smaller scale, is what I'm saying. Yeah. That was my kind
much
of counter.
But
unbelievable, yeah. Definitely amazing.
Yeah.
We like it.
I mean, and of course, the thing is, some things are easier at smaller scale, but also at smaller scale, you have fewer employees, fewer resources.
True.
You know, less money. So in theory, if you're a much bigger business, you should have the resources to match.
Yeah.
So you can kind of go both ways. But I understand, obviously. I think it's a fun little set.
And, I think, look, 50 games unbeaten, potential treble on the cards. They're coming to Dublin to try and win the European Cup, the Europa League. Yes. Yeah, look, interesting set. Interesting set, for sure.
And the momentum has swung away from Atalanta after their third Coppa Italia final loss in 6 years against Max Allegri's Juventus.
They get there, but they can't get the job done, Jason.
True, but still, what a job Gasperini has done, by the way.
Yeah.
So let's see here. Enzo, let's finish today on massive news in the Breaker sphere.
Okay.
With the introduction of hobby fan, card opener, box ripper, and streaming superstar Castro into the hobby proper, or into the hobby commercially, with Castro Collects, his new venture with his team over there.
Oh yeah, Castro Collects, so it has existed for a while, that kind of brand, but it's the first time they've obviously added the website and stuff like that.
And the website, yeah, sorry, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So Castro Collects has officially kind of gone into breaking.
There's all sorts of interesting stuff here. First of all, we happen to know Rick, who's leading the charge over there, Castro Collects, quite well. Just want to say congratulations to Rick on a fantastic launch, and best of luck with it and all that stuff. First of all, I see that they've kind of put down the bottom here a gift card. I don't think I see it. You don't see that on many breaking waves. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm genuinely reacting to this live now, and I had never considered.
The gift card says $100 on it, but then in there it says €23 and -2 in stock. So there's something going on there, but it's a great idea.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, we all have kinks to work out when we start, but in theory, it's very exciting. You got your products. You got your breaks, standard. You know, people have seen Breaker websites, and stuff. Obviously, here on the banner. Museum. Sorry, one second. Just on the banner here, it says step one, purchase spot. Step two, watch the stream. Step three, receive your cards. That's obvious to anyone who's entered a break in the hobby, but not necessarily obvious to Castro's audience, who have been watching him open cards, but haven't necessarily been entering breaks all this time.
100%.
Look at this. Virtual museum. Basically, a highlight reel of hits.
Very, very, very good.
That's a nice way to kind of... Because you see, I don't know which breaker it was. I'm not going to mention them, but they had like their biggest hits or whatever, like kind of carousel on the website, which is always a great idea. Yeah, fun. Enzo, what do you think of someone like this? We've seen streamers, obviously Castro himself and many other different people, whether it be, you know, Steve Aoki or whatever, in and around the hobby. But to actually launch a breaking brand, is this good or bad? Is this welcome or unwelcome? What's your thoughts?
I honestly love it. I love it. I think it is. It's positive for Castro to have launched the breaking platform. I think he's done it the right way. He's kind of engaged with the hobby for a few years first.
Yeah.
I think putting Rick, obviously we kind of know him via Twitter. We've met him. I don't think we've met him at the National, but we've been in contact for 2 or 3 years at least. Might see him at this National upcoming.
I feel like I've met Rick, even though I may not have met him. I just feel like
you feel like you know him personally.
Yes.
No, that's what I love about it. Like, he basically, if you look at it, right, it's like one of the biggest streamers, and let's not forget soccer mainly. It's soccer. Like, soccer is the world. It's FIFA. It's soccer. Like, there's not a lot of megastar soccer breakers, really. Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of the biggest breaking groups, whether it's Blaze or Backyard Breaks, that the focus is not soccer at mm-hmm. all. I look at it. It's like Castro has basically taken his audience through him opening boxes for many years. Now he's introducing breaking. He's put Rick in the chair, which is the thing I love. Because it's like, even like on stream, like I was watching the stream and they're kind of sitting there and they're almost kind of laughing or kind of, you know, it's almost like they kind of go, Rick, you're the guy who's helped me source boxes. You're the guy that's kind of given me educational pieces on this. You're the guy who might have sorted out the singles. You're not necessarily a natural on camera. Like, you're not the guy who's been on camera, but I'm putting you there and we're all just going to kind of, it's going to work. I trust you. I want to put someone that knows what this is in the chair. And even if it's like, you don't have your catchphrase, like, they're kind of bantering about that. He doesn't have, like, what are you going to say when you hit something big? I kind of love that. It's like, I didn't go with my budget and hire someone to be a perfect kind of robot in a chair. It's like, I'm taking a guy from the hobby, from the culture, if you will, and I'm putting him in the chair and it's going to work and we're going to make it work and we're going to have a laugh and it's good. And I love that. So congratulations to Rick. You have to say that again. And congratulations to Castro for kind of making that move, because I think it was the right move. Mm-hmm. And then just in terms of the hobby, yeah, some people have said, like, you know, Castro's been open for 2 or 3 years. So if that hasn't moved the needle for his audience to care about the hobby, then what real difference does this make, for example? But at the end of the day, it's like,
it has moved the needle because he's decided to start breaking.
No, 100%. But what I'm trying to say is, like, if you're talking about growing the hobby, because a lot of influencers or athletes or whatever have been seen with cards in the last few years. Like, we've seen it a lot of times.
Your Bobby Witt Jr., your Corbin Carroll, your Tom Brady.
These people have, we've seen it, even Wembanyama.
But you're Jude Bellingham, you're Jose Mourinho.
Exactly, right? But it's like, for Castro to get his audience to transact in the hobby, to spend €10, €20 on a break, to watch the break, enjoy it, have that experience, but then, more importantly, to end up getting the card shipped to them. Because once that happens, you're engaged. Like, it's like, if someone, he's breaking Donruss, if someone hits a Kaboom, Kaboom ships to them. Now they're holding a Kaboom. They bought their spot for £30. Kaboom's worth a couple hundred, maybe, depending on who they get. Now it's like, what do I do?
Mm.
Do I put this on eBay? Do I go to a local card shop? Do I go to a local card show? Do I get it graded? Because I hear about that a lot. What do I do? And now you're in the hobby. You've transacted. Yeah. You've actually converted people into engaging with the hobby. Once you start having a pile of cards, now it's like, right, what do I do? And then you start learning. So I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I think that's it's a good point you raise. I mean, obviously we talk a lot about, and this goes back to what we were saying earlier about gimmicks and stuff like that. You talk about marketing the hobby and growing it. And oftentimes what that means is putting, you know, digital content or putting advertising content in front of people and telling them about the hobby and showing them kind of other people doing it. For me, like, there's nothing better than actually focusing on, if we want to grow the hobby, if we want to 10x the hobby, we need to get cards. And by cards, I mean, you know, a pile of cards or a pile of slabs that somebody owns that they've either gotten to breaks or they've bought singles or whatever it may be. You need to have as many people with a not unsubstantial amount of cards that they have some vague idea of the value of as possible. You need to disseminate the cards throughout the you know, you need to seed the world with cards. But like, and this is what this does.
To add it, because I was watching it for maybe an hour, on and off, kind of flicking through. They had obviously Cyrus from Soccer Breakers, who's a big part of this as well.
Yes.
They had Castro on himself.
By the way, just to give Cyrus a shout out, a complete OG, and to still be growing it, to still be pushing it, and to still be like, you know, to be honest, if anyone is going to be concerned about this, or if anyone is going to know why this is not a good idea or whatever, it is Cyrus. Mm. So like, it's just great to see him having a growth mindset and not like oh no, I don't want these FIFA streamers moving in on my turf kind of thing. You know, anyway, sorry, go ahead.
No, 100%, but it's like, for a lot of it, it's almost done in the vein, Jason, that we would always try to do something, and that, like, you had Rick opening boxes, you had Castro being humble and kind of acknowledging that he doesn't understand everything about the industry. Like, he doesn't, like, the same way, like, if I give my brother a box to open, the other day we all opened a Pristine together, and my brother was holding a Haaland Hidden Gems, and he didn't know what it was. He didn't know Hidden Gems was a big key. He just thought this is another kind of base card in the box, is what he was thinking.
Mm.
And we both went, ah, it's a Hidden Gem. Like, Castro has that in him where he's like, yeah, we all said, let's go. But like, Castro has that in him where it's kind of like, if he's opening it, he's like, let me know if I'm missing on it. So like, he's kind of acknowledging he's a noob, but like, he's kind of saying, hey, I don't actually know this. This is also why Rick is here. He's an expert. He understands all this stuff. He'll see stuff. But like, he was sitting on the chair asking Cyrus questions, or the chat was asking questions. He'd pass it off to Cyrus, or Cyrus would be looking at it. And then like, during the stream, they were just given like an educational thing where it's like, if I buy the Man City spot, am I getting every Man City card? And then they were saying like, any numbered or non-base, you're getting the base is shipping as a base spot. And there was like there was education happening the whole way. The same way, like, when we started a podcast, we did Card College and stuff like that. It was the same thing. And that was so good to see.
Yeah.
It was information we've told people for many years, and other people have told people for many years, when you're trying to explain what a break is, even to someone, even if like, we're not breaking, we're like, so a break is you can buy slots of a box. You were trying to explain all that. It's like, that was happening live on stream, and obviously a high production kind of way, because obviously they had all the setup. They had 600 plus people in it as well. It's not just happening to no one. It just felt like the hobby is growing. Like, this is great. And soccer was at the forefront of it, because that's obviously Cyrus and Castro, that's their main thing.
Yeah. Also, that made me think of a couple of things. One is that, like, obviously when you're making educational content for people who are in the hobby, traditionally there have been, we did it, other people do it, you know, whatever. But it tends to be for people who have, so you want to discover the hobby, you've gotten into the hobby, and now you want to figure out exactly what everything means. It's like, you've bought the book, to read the glossary, you have to open the book and flip to the first page.
Yeah.
This is for people who's like, you're putting the glossary on the cover. It's like, you know, you don't even have to buy the book. You're just in the bookshop because you love Castro, you know? And it's like, when you think of doing intra-hobby education compared to extra-hobby education, and just, it's like, people will watch Castro by the by. What's he doing? Is he streaming FIFA tonight? Oh, he's not streaming FIFA. Oh, he's doing a break. Okay, I'll just watch the break because, you know, I'm wearing an I Love Castro t-shirt or whatever. I'm a Castro Platinum member or whatever it is. It's massive. It's like I said to you before the show, it's a bit like when you see an NFL star or an MLB star or an NBA star, and they'll have like, you know, 10 million followers on Instagram. And then you look at a soccer player, or the best ones are always when you look at cricket players to play in the IPL. And it's like, this guy plays for Kerala in the IPL and he has like 275 million followers, because it's like, you don't realize that you're in a niche until you compare it to something else. And I just looked up, and obviously this is completely unfair to just apples and oranges, and you can do it as with anything. But like, Castro has 3.7 million Twitch subscribers. 3.7 million Twitch subscribers on his main channel, obviously. And say Sports Card Investor YouTube channel, who do some of the best educational kind of style content and, like, you know, intra hobby content. They have 300,000 subscribers on YouTube. Massive. You know, within the niche, but a fraction of what these other audiences are. It's very exciting.
Yeah, and you can't underestimate, like, I'm pretty sure, like, without knowing the full history, without paying super, super close attention to the full history of streaming and FIFA, I think it's safe to assume if Castro does something, there's a host of other streamers with maybe 1 million or maybe 300,000, 400,000 that kind of look at what he's doing and go, what's he doing? What's happening here? I might be interested in that, and then they might want to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I definitely think that happens. Whether you kind of move from FIFA to Fortnite or something like that, like, other people are looking at the people around them, and if you're at 3.7 million in that kind of a niche, the people kind of around you, 2 million, 1 million, 400,000, 500,000, significant numbers still, as we've said, that could then go, hey, you know, I think I could start breaking, and I think I could have a breaking company, and I think I could actually do this. This could be interesting. How do I get involved? Yes. And now you're kind of dragging an entire community of people kind of into the hobby. So I love to see it. Love to see it, Jason. That's all I can say on it. I don't see any negative to it, to be honest. I think it's great. And I think, you know, he did it the right way. He was opening boxes for 2 or 3 years before launching it. So I think a lot of time went into it, a lot of thought went into it. And again, as I said, even getting Rick, stuff like that, it just looks like everything was done professionally.
It wasn't done right. Casually.
Yeah, 100%.
No, it's good. I think it's
better than GameStop.
Congratulations to all involved. Better than GameStop, yeah. Yeah, better than GameStop. Because I suppose if we're gonna hold up the theory that the important thing is to get cards that people care about the value of into as many people's hands as possible, then what does the GameStop thing do? It takes cards out of the ecosystem. So now somebody has these slabs that they've had for a couple of years, they want to get out of the hobby. They give them to GameStop, they get out of the hobby. This does the other thing. This puts more cards in more hands. GameStop takes cards out of people's hands.
Making GameStop sound like they're just terrible people.
And listen, cards out of people's hands. And I don't want to hear from GameStop about how I've completely mischaracterized what is a perfectly legitimate what is a perfectly legitimate thing to do. I don't want to hear them defend themselves. I know we're being unreasonable, but listen, big week. I'm sure we're going to have an even bigger week next week because the hobby just does not sleep.
No, not at all. I'm seeing some stuff here, Jason, about the EuroLeague basketball. The first product is coming.
Oh, wow.
I'll talk to you about that off air. That's not a basketball podcast.
Okay, listen, have a great weekend, everyone. We're back on Tuesday for episode 225. And let's go. Let's go then. Let's go there.
Let's go.